And actually, it's interesting because this woman then went on to receive 12 months of maintenance bevacizumab. Now, after the carbogen bevacizumab, when she had disease progression, I guess actually it's at that point when she got her carbogen bev for recurrent disease and then went on to bev maintenance, it would be at that point, I guess, where this new PARP data on niraparib would kick in. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, that, well, interestingly, it's the patient would have been more of a candidate for it right after her carbogen as opposed to after her maintenance bev, you know, right after her cytotoxic therapy.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of what, that's sort of what, in other words, instead of getting bev.
Yes.
I don't know whether 6 months from now, if niraparib gets approved, if she's going to be getting niraparib.
Right, exactly. That is the question, is will the substitution now be for a PARP inhibitor for maintenance therapy? And it's absolutely going to depend on what approvals they go for, obviously with the FDA approval committees, and then what they have accepted. If it's going to end up being accepted, which my suspicion is that it'll be accepted for patients with a germline BRCA mutation or those with somatic HRD, as opposed to everybody, I think that that will be a very interesting thing to see if people start adopting PARP maintenance instead of classic bevacizumab maintenance. You know, I actually have spoken with a lot of members of the community around the country, and there are not a lot of practitioners who are utilizing bevacizumab maintenance. A lot of that is because they can't get it approved by insurance. And so because the medication is very expensive, without insurance approval or authorization, it wouldn't be utilized. So I think that PARP maintenance actually will have good uptake in utilization. I'm just curious to see, once we start seeing it practiced in the communities, our providers and practitioners are dealing with toxicity and their methods and mechanisms for kind of managing the doses and toxicities associated with the PARP, because the data does suggest that there is an important dose-dependent relationship to the PARP dose and the outcome. And so I am curious to see what kind of real-world data will show.